Welcome back, everybody. This is Gameplay. I'm your host, Matthew Cause. Leafs and Bruins, Game 3 tonight. And you can listen to it right here on TSN 1050. Also, in the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to give you this keyword, and you hear the word, you text in, and it'll give you a chance to win tickets for Game 4. We'll be giving them away Friday on the morning show. That's what we love to do here. We love to give. We also love to give you the gift of knowledge and wisdom with our next guest, Maple Leafs reporter Mark Masters. Good afternoon, Mark. Thank you for doing the show.
Good afternoon. Good to be on.
Yes. So what I like to do is I like to look at the old Twitter machine, because even though, again, for all the kids out there, social media is a lie, Twitter is not real life. I cannot stress that enough. But I'm going on one of your tweets, and it's about JVR taking power play reps. Now, that tweet got you 20,000 views. Pretty good. 20,000 views. William Nylander, where you tweet, looks like he will miss Game 3. That one got you 741,000 views. That's a lot more. Mark, what can you tell us about all things Nylander?
Yes. Well, there's certainly some interest in... Like, it's been such a strange story,
yeah,
that I think that's kind of like, listen, if William Nylander was hurt in the playoffs, just alone, that's a big story. But the fact that he hadn't missed any time all season, played in the last game of the regular season, played in like the second last shift of the last regular season game, and is their most durable player, like, I've never covered a Nylander injury, right?
Yeah.
Basically, I can't remember, I guess 2016? I mean, it was ages ago since we've even had to ask a question about Nylander's status. He's had some illnesses, and there was the COVID, and so it's a strange story. So I can't tell you much. I mean, he's on the ice. To my eye, he's smiling. He's not like pointing, or doesn't seem to be obviously favoring anything that I can see. I know there's so much speculation out there, understandably, because we don't even know upper or lower body. They've been super cagey and secretive about this injury, too, although we are finally getting a bit more from Sheldon Keefe, at least. Not just the no-update answer. We're getting a bit more. So they seem to understand that there is interest. But, yeah, it's one of the strangest stories I've covered since I've been here, and there's just not much to say.
Yeah, no,
to be honest, it doesn't look like he's going to play. He stayed out late with the scratches, and I've never seen anyone do that and then play. So maybe this will buck the trend there, but it sure seems like he's going to be out tonight.
Yeah, just by that, the precedent says if you're hanging out with the other scratches, you're not going to be playing that night. That's kind of how it all goes. I think the weird thing is that it's not like at the end of the year there was that one crushing hit against him, or, he slips and slams into the board and his right leg is twisted in a weird way. Like, we didn't see any evidence of any physical ailment to conclude the regular season, and now he's about to miss his third playoff game. Like, on one level, I get why they're not saying anything. They don't want the Bruins to have any extra info about to target a certain part of the body, but the strange thing is, there was no lead up to this. There was no, remember when he took a slash to the wrist? This just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I remember the first practice after the regular season. They had a travel day on last Thursday, and then they practiced in Boston on Friday ahead of game one. And I was just ticking off the names of the players who were coming onto the ice. And I was like, wait a second, someone's missing. And, you're like, well, Nylander's not out there. And you're kind of looking and you're like, did I miss him? Because it was so shocking, right? Like, he has a very strict routine. He likes to be on the ice. He's a bit of a rink rat. Like, his dad played. He's lived his entire life in arenas. And he definitely is not the kind of guy to sit out of practice. In fact, he usually takes the ice for optional practices just to kind of keep the feel of his hands. He likes to do that. And it was jarring. I remember thinking to myself, like, wow, like, I can't believe he's not practicing. Because it didn't even come to my mind that he would miss game one. I'm like, oh, he must be sick, or I don't know. There must be some explanation for this. His luggage got lost. I don't know. It's been baffling. And it's led to all sorts of crazy speculation. Somebody at the airport yesterday when I was flying home was like, did they bench him because he wasn't trying hard enough at the end of the season? I'm like, no. I can tell you definitively that's not the case. I was like, this is getting a little crazy that people would even contemplate that they would they would purposely take one of their best players out of the lineup for that sort of reason. But anyway, so it's a strange one. And it's still playing out. We're going to have 2 days off after tonight's game to get set for game four here in Toronto, and I'm sure the story is only going to continue.
Yeah, those 2 days. I know Jim Montgomery is excited. He's going to see the CN Tower, the Art Gallery, the ROM. I invite him to try to get on to the Gardener from, say, Queen and Spadina at 4:30 in the afternoon. He'll be thrilled with the city of Toronto. Mm-hmm. He'll be thrilled with the city of Toronto then. By the way, okay, real quick, sort of off topic, but only sort of. What are those airline airport interactions like with you and Leaf fans?
It's great. You know, people come up, they say they're part of Master Nation or, you know, listen, obviously you got a lot of fans in every city, so it's always great to see them. But I had someone yell at me in the washroom the other day that Hayes is a fraud. So that was a bit off-putting, you know. But, it could have been worse. There's all sorts of different interactions. It's great, especially this time of year. Everyone wants to talk about what's going on, right? So, it's usually whatever the big story is, you know, what's going on with player X, or is Austin Matthews going to score X number of goals. So it's always fun. Keeps me in touch with what the common Leafs fan is thinking.
By the way, you had a great opportunity there to tell a horrible lie. No, they're sitting him because Nylander's complaining that he's underpaid.
I don't think that's the case.
It would have been irresponsible. All right, yeah. So Mark, we're obviously going to talk about these two issues, but which one do you find more interesting? I'm going to give you two options. Which one would you like to start with? The encore performance that we're all waiting to see from Austin Matthews, or the potential Marner breakout game? Which way would you like to start, sir?
Well, it's Marner, isn't it? Like, that's the big storyline coming in outside of Nylander is Marner. He's got 0 points in two games. And I thought it was striking that Sheldon Keefe, unprompted, brought him up to praise him immediately after game two. Like, he was, I asked him, you know, what made the Matthews line so effective? And as part of that answer, he veered off and started talking about how good Marner was and getting the puck into good areas and doing a good job against the David Pastrnak line and keeping them in check, except for that one breakdown off the faceoff late in the first period. Yesterday, again, Keefe, you know, went out of his way to talk about Marner and the forecheck of that line and what they're doing well. And then today, again, talking about how they're playing the best defensive hockey of their season and Marner's their most reliable and consistent defensive player and the offense is going to come. It's just the way it goes in a series. You know, it takes time and their time will come. So, I mean, the coach is clearly, you know, he's reading the room. He's seen the markets. There's a front page of a newspaper in the market that isn't too kind to Marner here. The Toronto Sun today, calling him the invisible Leaf.
By the way, the story itself by Steve Simmons was actually pretty, I'm not going to say mundane, but it's pretty much just a fact-based piece. I know the cover was aggressive, but that's what the Toronto Sun does. You know, just kind of pointed out that Mitch Marner is incredibly, incredibly talented. So when he doesn't perform in the playoffs, it sticks out more than if, you know, Pontus Holmberg isn't scoring.
Yeah, but Marner is paid to score. He's paid to be a star. And this is his hometown. So it can't be great to, if you're a friend or family of Mitch Marner, to see that, even if the article itself is balanced, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it plays into it. But I you know, we spoke to Marner this morning, and I think he's handling everything great. Like, he's saying the right things. He's not getting, like, sometimes in these moments in past playoffs, he'll start lashing out at the media or the market and the outside noise. And it was none of that. I think it's very balanced. I think he's in a good spot. You know, I think the key is they don't want to cheat, you know, for offense. They feel like, you know, they can get that effort from Austin Matthews. And, you know, I don't expect him to be worse moving forward here. I think that's the type of performance he can put forward. And they just feel like if everyone does their job and doesn't cheat and doesn't let the kind of the outside pressure against them, they're going to be fine in the series. And the whole regular season, the story of that regular season series was the Leafs just making mistakes and Boston punishing them, basically. And we saw that in game one, and we did not see it as much in game two, and that's a big reason why it's even. But you're curious. You're curious to see if coming home, the Leafs have really struggled at home.
Yeah.
I don't know, really struggled, but certainly last year in the playoffs, 1-5, right, and 4-1 on the road. So there does feel to be like they get a little carried away at home and the structure isn't as good and the details aren't as dialed in. They were fourth overall on the road in the regular season, 19th at home. Boston was also really good on the road. fourth overall. So it will be key for Marner and anyone tonight to just kind of stick to it.
I mean, actually, you know what? Thinking about it, I wasn't even going to ask about this because, like, Max Domi was great in game two. You know, the important goal, the crazy pass to Matthews. But now, like, I'm wondering, like, Max Domi before game one put out on his Instagram this great hype video for the Maple Leafs. And, you know, you see the video and you're like, the Leafs are winning the cup. They're going 16-0, everybody, it's over. But now it's Max Domi playing his first home game, playoff game in Toronto. Like, I'm curious to see, what's Max Domi like in the first 5 to 10 minutes?
Yeah, he's got to be careful because, you know, he kind of crossed, well, he did cross the line in game one. He took a couple penalties. One was coincidental, minors that easily could have just been him, and the other was the flash to the wrist of Brad Marchand. It felt like in game one, he had spent the entire afternoon just rewatching that hype video that he posted and was so geared up and then got into it with Marchand off the opening faceoff. Yeah, it'll be, you know, this is what it's all about for him, right? Like, his dad played here. I asked him what he remembers about being in the building for at least home playoff games growing up, and he said he doesn't really remember anything, honestly, and he's really eager to see what it's like. So he'll have to stay on the right side of the line tonight. And I asked Sheldon Keefe, you know, Brad Marchand is drawn a penalty in each of the two games. What do you do to deal with these guys and in terms of discipline? And he said, yes, we have to be smart, recognize who we're out there with, but also they're very good at making it very clear that there's been an infraction. So the Bruins are very good at selling calls, I guess. And so we'll see if kind of putting that out there to the universe maybe earns them the benefit of the doubt if there's some borderline calls in this game from their referees tonight.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I was going to let you go, Mark. And again, follow them in on Twitter at Mark H. Masters on Twitter for all the latest updates. Is Brad Marchand going to play tonight after that vicious slash from Tyler Bertuzzi? I wasn't sure. Is he there? Will he be able to physically play tonight?
Yes. Yeah, I saw him on the ice, and it looks like he has recovered, but James Van Riemsdyk is also in, ex-Leaf. You know, maybe Jim Montgomery playing a bit of a hunch here. You know, Van Riemsdyk, I think, gone 20 games without scoring and has been a scratch, and it's not been easy for him, but yeah, he's in tonight. They're making a couple changes on defense too. Andrew Peek's out, obviously got hurt in game two. Looks like Grzelcyk is also out, and they're bringing in a 23-year-old who's making a Stanley Cup playoff debut in Mason Lowry. So clearly they're trying to get some more offense going. Interesting decisions from Jim Montgomery and the Bruins here tonight to try and spark their offense because they have not been very happy with how they're doing in that department. And, you know, Marchand's got a couple of assists, but I'm sure they look for more from him now that he's recovered.
Well, God bless him that he's able to make a physical recovery. It's stories like that that really warm the hearts of sports fans. Mark, always appreciate. Thank you so much for the latest update for the game tonight. Enjoy, and we'll talk soon.